Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this day, this Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just a few announcements to remind you of that we will be having a Good Friday service here at the church at 2 p.m. on Good Friday, so please come out and join us for that special service. I know a lot of times Holy Week is a time when we don't always have an opportunity to come out, but if you are able and you are not working or you are in the community, please come out for that Good Friday service. It will again be at 2 p.m. Also, we will not be having a Bible study this week, this Wednesday, but we will resume our Bible study next Wednesday, the following Wednesday. So please mark that, make note of that. The Olney High School is sponsoring a program where they are wanting to bring together some of the high school students with older members in the church, and by older, anyone over 30 years old. But it's an opportunity for them to bring together older people in the community, particularly in the faith community, to share with some of the high schoolers some of the experiences that you have had in life, particularly your faith experiences. And again, it's an opportunity for just to meet some of the young people and to share with them, to learn about them, and to have them to learn about you. But that's going to take place on April 11th. They are still recruiting folks. They need about 20 people that they would like to participate in that program. So if you are interested, please see me, and I can get you going for that. But that's going to be on April the 11th. Also, to remind you, next week is, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Mentioned that we will have a Good Friday service, but also an Easter service as well. Please be here next Sunday for Easter Sunday as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are other things, of course, going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin, and also go to our web page in order to stay abreast of all that is happening at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Our first reading, the epistle reading, comes from the letter to the Philippian Church, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1023. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Our gospel reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 16, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 936. John chapter 12, verses 12 through 16. The next day, a great crowd who had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young ass and sat upon it. As it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on an ass's colt." His disciples did not understand this at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that this had been written of him and had been done to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, friends, we've come a long way since the beginning of Lent, a long way since Ash Wednesday. We are counting down, and indeed, this is the last week before Easter. Indeed, Palm Sunday is the beginning of the last week of the Lord's life before his looming crucifixion. This week is often known as Holy Week, and it encompasses the events that will take place in Jerusalem on Thursday and Friday. As you've heard, there will be a Good Friday service here at 2 p.m. on Friday. But the Lord's last week begins today. It begins on Palm Sunday. And that's when Jesus and his motley band of followers enter into the holy city of Jerusalem. We should note that the Lord's last week takes place during the Passover celebrations, when Jews from all over the empire come into Jerusalem to make sacrifices at the temple. So Jerusalem would have been bustling with people as Jesus and his disciples came parading into the city, people again speaking all kinds of languages, people from all kinds of traditions, Jews from all over the empire, as I said. They would all be in Jerusalem during this week, the last week of Jesus' life. And so despite the soberness that characterizes this week, Palm Sunday always has a bit of a festive air about it. You know, when we think of Palm Sunday, we think of parades, we think of donkeys, we think of people lining the streets, waving their palm branches in joyous acclaim. It's kind of a mini Easter before Easter. But in the midst of all the hustle and bustle, in the midst of all the celebrating of Palm Sunday, there's always one word that stands out, and that's the word you heard this morning, the word Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna. We've had occasion before to note that Hosanna is not a cheer, but it's actually a prayer, and it means, please save us. Save us, please. And that's what the last week of Jesus is about. It's about Jesus coming to save us. In fact, that's what the whole New Testament is about. It's about God in Christ coming to save us. And isn't that what we all need, to be saved? We all want to be saved. And we all know what we need to be saved from. As someone once said, we need to be saved from hell. Not just the fiery place that might await us after we die, but the hell that we make of our lives, the hell that we make out of our relationships, the hell that we made out of God's good creation, the hell that we make whenever we worship something other than God. That's what Jesus came to Jerusalem to save us from on this last week of his life. I have to admit that I always found Palm Sunday to have an air of comedy about it. I mean, let's face it, Jesus doesn't look much like any kind of savior, does he? There's no red cape, no macho superhero posturing, no military hardware, no tech bro arrogance. All he has is a borrowed donkey and a few straggling followers of misfits that he's picked up along the way. And I suspect that maybe some of the people in the crowd as Jesus enters Jerusalem on this day might have even been laughing as they threw down their palm branches before him. And may have been saying Hosanna more in mocking than in sincerity. And yet that's who Jesus is. He is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. He is the one who can save. The one who can save them. The one who can save us. But all of that begs the question of how. How does Jesus save? How in the world does he do it? If he has no army, if he has no air force, if he doesn't have bulging pockets, if he doesn't have a big budget, how in the world is Jesus going to save? Well, we all know the answer to that because we've all paraded into Jerusalem with Jesus many times before. And he saves by giving of himself. He saves by pouring himself out. He saves by an act of sacrificial self-giving love. He saves by dying on the cross. That's how he saves. That's how Jesus saves us. That's how Jesus saves the whole world. On this, the last week of his life. One of the things I noticed this year as I was studying the lectionary text is just how much the last week of Jesus' life in John's gospel resembles Paul's Christ hymn from the book of Philippians that Brandon read earlier. Many of us know that hymn quite well. Paul writes that even though Jesus was in the form of God, he didn't regard equality with God something to be exploited. He didn't regard it as something to be gained. He didn't regard it as something to be used to dominate and control people. Instead, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even on a cross. I should say that that's the pattern of the Lord's life, his whole life. That was the pattern of his life from the time he was born. It was the pattern of his life from the time he was baptized, from the time he began his ministry, from the time he set his face towards Jerusalem. That is the pattern of the Lord's life, a pattern of self-giving, a pattern of pouring out, a pattern of sacrificial love for the sake of others. But it's especially true here during the last week of his life. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem to the acclaim of the crowd who associates him with God. That's what they say. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. They associate Jesus with God. But he doesn't exploit that. He doesn't come in asserting any kind of rights over him or asserting any kind of power or domination over the people. In fact, as the week goes on, Jesus begins more and more to pour himself out. He begins more and more to empty himself. And by the time we get to Maundy Thursday, he takes on the form of a slave, the form of a servant, and he stoops down and he washes his disciples' feet. Imagine that, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, God's own very Son, stoops down and he washes the feet of his disciples. And not only that, but he gives them a whole new commandment. Love one another. And then he is arrested. And I'm sure at that point he could have called down legions of angels to rescue him, or at the very least he could have incited his followers to fight, to resist violently. But he doesn't do any of that. Instead, in humble obedience to God, he is crucified on the cross. And somehow, that's how Jesus saves. Somehow, that's the pattern of salvation, self-giving, sacrificial love for the sake of others, pouring oneself out for the sake of the world. That's the pattern of salvation. That's the pattern of Jesus. That's the pattern of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And Paul says, let that same mind that was in Christ Jesus also be in you. In other words, Paul is saying that being saved is to imitate the life of Christ, to imitate the self-giving love, to imitate the pouring out, to undertake the giving, especially the pattern of the last week. The last week of Jesus' life. Have you ever tried to imitate someone? I'm sure we've all had someone that we wanted to imitate, someone we admired, someone we wanted to be like. Whenever you want to imitate someone, you watch them closely, you study their every move, you try hard to mimic the way they do things. When I was a boy in grade school, I would imitate Muhammad Ali, who was my hero. I memorized all of his poems. I would talk like he talked. I practiced his moves, the way he fought. I would mimic him because he was my hero. I wanted to be like him. So I imitated him. Sometimes during the week, I'll go down and I'll watch the kids playing basketball downstairs, and it's quite obvious from watching them that they've been mimicking and imitating the styles of their favorite professional players. They've studied them all. They've imitated them because they want to be good basketball players. They want to be great basketball players, so they've studied and they've watched and they've imitated. And we, too, are called to imitate the self-giving love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a world where we, of course, are encouraged to claim our rights. We live in a world where we are encouraged to assert our privileges. The problem is that we end up imitating the wrong kinds of people. We end up imitating the rich. We end up imitating the famous. We end up imitating the powerful, the seemingly successful. We want to be like them because we believe that if we are like them, we can secure our lives. If we are like them, we can be happy. If we are like them, we won't have anything to worry about. But all that does is to lead us further and further into hell. And there are lots of hells out there. Gaza, Ukraine, Congo, Haiti, Washington, D.C., Wall Street. Many of our urban centers, many of our suburbs, even some of our homes, we've made them out of a hell, out of a living hell. Because we're imitating the wrong kind of people and we're imitating the wrong kind of things. But you and I are called to imitate Jesus. We are called to imitate the Lord. We are called to imitate the way of the cross. We are called to imitate the way of self-giving love. We are called to imitate the way of self-giving and self-emptying. And that's the way that leads to salvation. That's what it means to be saved. We like to quote Jesus a lot. We like to profess our belief in Jesus. We worship Jesus. But I suspect that the most difficult thing is to imitate him, to actually imitate Jesus, to actually do things the way he did, especially in the last week of his life. And let's be honest, none of us can imitate Jesus perfectly. None of us can imitate Jesus on our own. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, operating in our hearts. But that's what we're called to do, to imitate him, to imitate his ways. I was reading about a man not long ago, a man who didn't know much about the church, didn't know much about Jesus, but he started going to church, and he began to read his Bible, and he noticed that when he read his Bible, that Jesus was different. Jesus was different than anyone he had ever encountered. This man was somewhat of a violent man. He had a short temper, but he noticed that that wasn't the way of Jesus. That Jesus had a loving demeanor. Jesus had a caring demeanor. Jesus had a non-violent demeanor. And so he started trying to imitate Jesus. He began, of course, small. He began by not saying mean and difficult things to people. And then he began by trying to control his temper. And then he began by praying that he would be more patient with people, and that the violence inside of his heart would subside. And he said sometimes he would fail, but when he did that, he would pray and ask God forgiveness and ask God to give him more power as he tried. And the more time went on, the more he was able to imitate slowly with little things. And the more he was able to imitate with the little things, the more he was able to do more. And the more he imitated Jesus, the more he began to look like Jesus. The more he was able to imitate, the more and more he began to look like Jesus. And that's what we're all called to do. We're invited to put the pattern of Jesus' life before us, and to imitate it, especially the pattern of the last week of his life. Someone might ask, well, how in the world can we human beings who often try to avoid risk, who often try to avoid pain, how in the world can we begin to live the kind of life that Jesus lived? I like the author Anne Lamott. One of her books, Plan B, she writes, "First, find a path and a little light to see by. then push up your sleeves and start helping. Every single spiritual tradition, she says that you must take care of the poor, or you are so doomed that not even Jesus can help you. You don't have to go overseas, she says. There are people in this country who are poor in spirit, people who are worried, people who are depressed, people who are dancing as fast as they can. Their kids are sick, their retirement savings are gone. There's a great loneliness among us, life-threatening loneliness. You do what you can, what good people have always done. You bring thirsty people water, you share your food, you try to help the homeless find shelter, you stand up for the underdog. And when you start doing these things, you are beginning to imitate Jesus. You're beginning to imitate the self-giving love of Jesus. You're beginning to let go of that concern that you have for only yourself. You begin to follow the pattern of salvation. The pattern of Jesus' life, especially his life during his last week. Paul's hymn, of course, doesn't stop where I stopped it earlier. It goes on and says, Paul says, therefore God highly exalted Jesus and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God. God vindicates Jesus by lifting him up. God vindicates the way of Jesus by raising him from the dead. By raising Jesus from the dead, God shows that the life-giving, sacrificial love of Jesus is indeed God's way. That's the way that God wants us to walk. That's the way that God wants us all to live. But that's to get a little bit ahead of ourselves. That's for next week. This week begins Holy Week. This is the first day of the last week of our Lord, who gave his life for all of us, who gave his life for you and me and for the whole world, who came into our midst to save us. And he is inviting all of us to not only follow him, but to imitate him, to imitate his ways of love. Isn't that what we need right now? Isn't that what our world is longing for? Self-giving, sacrificial love for the other? Isn't that the healing that can save us? Save us, Jesus. Hosanna. Save us, we pray. Only you can save us. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have come into our midst to heal us, to redeem us, to save us. We confess that we don't often want the kind of salvation that you have to offer. We want our saviors to talk brashly. We want our saviors to talk with vengefulness. We want our saviors to extol our greatest fears and hatreds. But you have offered us a Savior who comes in love. You have given us a Savior that bears your very heart, your care and concern for each and every one of us. And you have offered us, invited us to follow him, and not just to follow him, but imitate his way of self-giving love. Lord, we pray that as we enter deeper into Holy Week this week, that you will give us the power to do just that. That you will give us the power too to take the form of a servant, to humble ourselves, to love each other. That you will help us too to put to death our egos, to put to death that part of ourselves that wants to lord it over others, so that we might find new life, abundant life, eternal life, in walking the way of the cross. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.